Welcome to Backbone, a podcast by the B.F. Goodrich Garage. I'm your host, Andrew Huang. Now, B.F. Goodrich Tires doesn't really need an introduction. This brand is synonymous with iconic products and iconic moments, from radial TAs to all-terrains to championship wins in Baja. But there's more to BFG than just tires. Because as good as those tires are, BFG's legacy was built by people. On this season of Backbone, we'll be talking to the people whose grit, guts, and gumption have defined this brand and continue to do so. Backbone is dedicated to the enthusiast community, the builders, racers, and gearheads that put their lives and reputations in the hands of BFG rubber. Let's dive in. A lot of the folks we've talked to so far this season have been from the off-road side of things. But if we go back to the days that Bob Bauer, Jeff Cummings, and Richard Winchester talked about on our first episode, you know that BF Goodrich Tires made a name for itself with the Radial TA, a street radial tire that redefined performance. And for most of us, riding in street cars is our first exposure to the automotive world, and it's how we fall in love with cars to begin with. But what cars we fall in love with, and why we fall in love with them, that's a story as varied as the number of builds on the road. That's why we brought in Brian Finch, James Lynn, and Pedro Murillo for this episode.
Name's Brian Finch. Been with the brand, what's it been now? 10 years, I believe, 10, 11 years. Man, they're clicking by. But mainly focus on the on-road side, so a lot of autocross, street type events. You know, we've got American Streetcar Series where we're doing, the Share of the Ride with BFG, a racer in my own right, and then also, car builder, parts manufacturer, you name it. So always happy out there to spread the BFG love wherever I can.
All right, my name is Pedro Murillo, a.k.a. Moparian, part of the BF Goodrich Ambassador Program and the Mopar Program as well. I organized and created an event called We Are Mopar that's hosted at Texas Motor Speedway, where BF Goodrich happens to be the title sponsor.
James Lynn here from Team Hybrid. I'm the founder and president. Started this in 1995 and been with the brand BF Goodrich for 17, 18 years. Very great partnership we have going on. Team Hybrid started as an import tuning car club that focuses on race street show. But now we have become really well-rounded, where it is not just about imports, it's about domestics, imports, KDM, Korean domestic market, DTM, and so on and so forth. So it encompasses all kinds of vehicles, not just imports.
Finding your way into the world of cars and then excelling at building them and building communities around them, it's not a straight path. For James, it started as an offshoot of being a kid who needed a way to blow off steam.
I believe in fate. I didn't plan to become who I am today or help everyone that I've helped. I was just 19 years old, 1995. I was driving around in my Acura Integra GSR. Those were all over the streets, just like Evos and Subarus and WRXs are right now, today. Mm-hmm. But back then, that's what we modified. And, I was so focused on getting a good education, going to UCLA, that the only alternative to blow off some steam was to play with your vehicle, because, we didn't have many other toys. And the vehicle was given to me by my parents to go to school. and help with the family business, or just to get to A to B, because we had other recreational activities like, tennis, we played by the violin to get to point A to B, but that was it. So one day my brother and I just, hanging out the house, and the car is usually parked in the garage, right? Mm-hmm. But we started thinking, wow, that'll be cool if we can start modifying it and fixing it up. So we did piece by piece.
That slowly turned into a community. Or rather, he built a community because people demanded it, wanted it.
And all of a sudden, the way I did it caught the attention of people locally on the street. So they started pulling me over. like, hey, how'd you do that? Where'd you get that? And then eventually they saw me enough times because I kept adding to the vehicle that the next time they pull me over, they're like, hey, James, you know, why don't you start a team? We want to learn from you, you know, and we want to follow you. And back then, follow didn't mean what following is today, like on social media. Mm-hmm. You know, they really wanted a teacher. And I'm like, no, thanks. I'm good. My goal is to, you know, make my parents proud, get a good education, you know, and do what I love by myself. I'm not here to go outside my circle, so to speak. So, but then after enough, you know, you become friends with these people that stop you on the streets eventually, you know, because I come from a small town called Oxnard, you know, back in the 805. So eventually we become friends, and then, you know, they're just like, let's hang out.
Right.
So we started hanging out one day, and that it's like sales. You know, after you ask enough times, you know, you're like, hey, you just make it.
Yeah.
You know, you execute it. So we started brainstorming and came up with different names and different ideas and different colors. And I'm like, you know what, guys, I got this. It's kind of like my car. Let me work on it by myself in my garage or in my house, and let me come up with something. So in about 3 to 6 months, I came up with all the details, and then I shared it with everybody. And then that's how Team Hybrid was born. And eventually, you know, helping others. And then they helped themselves. They finally caught on, like, what I was looking for in quality, in the cleanliness of the build. Because I believe, you know, quality parts and a clean build withstands the test of time. So then eventually they started attracting attention of others. So, you know, when you become great, it attracts talent, you know?
Sure.
It attracts others with the same frame of mind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they understand you. And then it just started spreading. And then when I got to UCLA, it spread in LA and then to the Valley where my brother went to school. Mm-hmm. And then eventually it was all over SoCal.
On the other hand, Pedro came to cars for the community they offered.
The biggest thing that I had, I was a football player, and, you know, I was into sports. And the biggest thing that was a part of my life growing up was sports. And I had a big injury. And once the injury happened, that went away. So, you know, trying to fill that void with something else that was positive and fun came the car community. So from that, you know, went the, you know, on road and racing and autocrossing and all these other fun things. But it was truly just being a part of something that was bigger and finding other owners or enthusiasts that you can kind of hang out with and have a really good time. Fast and the Furious had just came out. Of course, I wanted import, and I got a Honda, and I got this nice little ride. Everything was perfect. I was out there in the show scene. We were out racing, you know, at the tracks and just doing these fun things. You know, that movie, the original one, especially, you know, they took the car scene of what you could do with your friends or what you could do with the cars. And they made it sexy, right? Like, the girls were in there, the hype was in there, the car meets, of course there were illegal street racing, but that was the kid side, right? Like, it was the excitement, and they brought that to the screen and to kind of show that. And, you know, I simply wanted a piece of that. I wanted to be able to experience something different than what I was experiencing at home. And I had a friend that ended up upgrading his vehicle to a Dodge Charger, and it was the 2006 model and RT, and just got all the bells and whistles. And you can imagine going from a Honda to that vehicle that had just released. I got really excited. So I begged my parents for weeks to allow me to buy a new vehicle. I was 18 years old, couldn't afford it, or could afford it, but I couldn't, you know, get the vehicle by myself. I needed them to co-sign and do all these different things. So ended up with an SRT Charger. The background on my family, on my dad, is that he's a Ford guy through and through. Like, he believes in the warranty they've had, the relationships that he's built. He's bought all these Fords in his lifetime, and he begged me to become a Ford guy. Like, he took me to the dealership. I sat inside of Mustang, and I was like, nope, not for me. And so anyways, I ended up wanting that Charger because my buddy and the lifestyle I saw from it, and kind of hanging out with him, and we went out to some different events, and just the Charger was what called out to me. So ended up with the SRT Charger at 19 years old. A lot of people say that was the dumbest move, because to give a kid that much power, like, there were so many of them that couldn't control it, couldn't really respect it. And for me, thankfully, I did. I respected the vehicle enough to make sure I didn't hurt myself. But I mean, it opened me up to a whole different world. Because of that vehicle, it put me into a lifestyle or a community of enthusiasts that were like-minded and that wanted to do the same cool stuff and that didn't look down on me because I was a kid, and just kind of, you know, allowed me to be a part of their inner circle. And from that was created a car community that's called DFWLX. And DFWLX is actually a car club that currently I'm a president of. I've been doing that for almost a decade now. And from that, we've been able to kind of interact and talk to thousands and thousands of owners in the time that we've been running. And as of today, we are one of the strongest and most active Mopar communities in the world, and largest as well. So because of that club, because of that community, because of all that lifestyle that was morphed in together, the Mopar brand in general became such an important part of my life, where even the lifestyle part that I did was I created a social channel, a social page called Moparian. And Moparian now is approaching 500,000 likes on Facebook, but it's not even the likes that's the crazy part, is the engagement and the reach that it gets. Every single month, we reach over 20 million people. And that's engaging from our content and talking about the Mopar brand and loving on it, which in turn has allowed me the opportunity to interact with the brand, to be an ambassador of the brand.
As for Brian, his story is perhaps the best testament that it's never too late to pursue a passion. A car guy from the very beginning, he didn't turn it into a major part of his life until after he'd established himself, his family, and a career in IT.
Well, you know, I've always been a car guy. I've always been kind of a gearhead from when I was just, you know, running around messing my diapers, I guess. I remember, you know, it's a funny story because I look back at when I was a child and why I kind of got into, you know, muscle cars was my older sister had a boyfriend, and his last name was Ford, and he had a 1968 fastback Mustang. And I used to have to go on dates with my older sister. My mom would make her take me along. And I can still remember, you know, 5-6 years old riding in the back seat of that Mustang. It had a 4-speed, and it was just the most awesome thing in the world. So fell in love with muscle cars at a very early age. Always had muscle cars. I've always had Mustangs, you know, since I was 15 years old. And it just kind of progressed through the years. Made sure I was focusing on raising my family and taking care of things financially. And then once I got to a point in my life where I could afford to actually, you know, build some nice stuff, went off into the building world. But I always had my own hot rods, right? So I was always building my own car. I wasn't really doing anything for customers like I do now. But I was more of a drag racer. So I did, you know, I drag raced for several years, did a lot of bracket racing, some 11-second index racing. And that was all that was really available in Northern California, Southern Oregon, where I grew up. So that's kind of the sport I went into. And it wasn't until I moved back east that changed, you know, when I took my first turn in anger and realized that it was a lot funner to just keep doing laps on an autocross course than it was to, you know, do an 11-second pass and go on the trailer first round.
That moment in the backseat of that 68 Mustang really stuck deep in Brian.
I kind of equate it to what I still have today, right? And it's this unique knack or ability to feel the car. And I really think it was the whole visceral experience. So, you know, I felt the car, I felt like I was part of the car. And even at a young age, right, I still remember, I can still picture the inside of that car. So it was such an experience, you know, and it was such a, you know, all-encompassing experience, not just, you know, from a sight, from a sound, from feel. That's really what resonated and stuck with me, you know, and I didn't think about it till much later in life that you know, that had such a big impact to me, but it all goes back to that one moment. So you never know. And people, some people have it early in life. Some people might not have that experience until much later in life. And for the most part, some people might not have the experience until they're in the right seat with one of us, you know, going out there and seeing what it's like.
James is based in Southern California and is the founder and president of Team Hybrid, a club that grew out of the import tuner scene in the late 90s and has turned into the winningest car club ever. Pedro hails from the Dallas-Fort Worth area of Texas, and he's exclusively a Mopar guy who has built one of the largest communities for modern Mopar vehicles. And Brian, he's made a name for himself as an autocrosser and a builder of pro touring cars, all while doing television and producing a line of performance parts under his name. Clearly, there's no wrong way to be a part of or make an impact on the enthusiast community. As different as these three men are, so are the communities they support. For Pedro, it's about fun, enjoying cars, and enjoying the people who enjoy cars.
I'll tell you the beauty behind the actual car show scene is that you get to sit there because you are baking under the heat and you're waiting for the show to be over and the awards to be announced, that you get the opportunity to speak to others and you get to hang out with each other and you get to sit there and talk about the different builds or the different plans and walk around and see what everybody else is doing and all these different unique vehicles or depending on the show that you're going to. But it's a fun thing, right? You get to go hang out and, you know, a lot of individuals, you know, you'll get to hang out when you're watching the game. You'll go and drink and grill out and just do all these different things. Well, it's no different for us when we're in the car show scene. It's we're just doing it outside next to some cool cars. And we're sitting there chatting it up and talking about life and just doing these things. When you're in the car show scene, there's a divide. There's the individuals that are going out there to just enjoy the day and show off their babies and just kind of enjoy whatever event they're participating in. And then you got the hardcore guys that are truly out there to win that trophy, to win that recognition, and especially at the bigger events where you get prize money for winning. So it's a big game. So, trying to stand out is the game, and you got to play it well if you're trying to compete in the bigger shows for sure. And if the award happens, great. Like that's a really good moment for that individual. But the majority of the individuals are just going to experience it, to hang out with others and just kind of hang out for a little bit. And of course, everybody wants that, you know, that nice little trophy they could take home and say, hey, like this was a cool day and post that on Instagram or whatever. But just the different mentalities that you get from it between when you're going to just go hang out and when you're taking it to that pro level. I mean, there's always a choice on which way that you go, you know, whether you're doing it for a reason and you're going after a prize or if you're simply just doing it for the love of what you're doing. And you can choose that depending on which community you're a part of. So Team Hybrid is a great community. I've seen these guys, I've looked at their builds and they're 100% focused on that win versus like a team that I created that is not. You know, we are out there 100% focused on the fun that we're going to have, right? And the win is not necessarily the focus for us, even though we get a ton of them. We got a whole bunch of enthusiasts that are building their cars and doing all these great things and really focused on their build, not necessarily the trophy, but their build.
James approaches his builds and Team Hybrid builds from a different perspective. It's about vision and excellence. Seeing the potential in a car, refining it, and building it faithfully. No cut corners, no shortcuts.
Well, I'm a competitive person by nature.
Okay.
In education, I was the same way. Mm-hmm. And also in my extracurricular activities in tennis, violin, you know, I always got pretty high up in whatever I put my mind to. So, you know, it's nice to see how you envision something against, you know, the competition. But I never thought of other people as a competition. I just thought, you know what? I know I got the best thing out there. And the judges agree, because the judge or judges, there is one man or a couple people's opinion, you know? Mm-hmm. You know, it's like someone appraising your house, you know?
Right.
One person might appraise it at this amount, and then this other appraiser could give you a higher value. And then the appraiser has different, you know, characteristics of their own, because they might not be hired from this area. So they might not understand the trends or the values of homes. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it's the same thing in the import tuning world. So every tuning standard is different. And I never worry about that. You've got to build it for yourself, you know, and I always tell people build it for yourself, but also it depends on what your goal is, because you can have a simple build and you're still respected, you know? You could have a simple drop, clean wheels, and a clean body kit and a nice clean interior, and that'll be respected. but you might not win.
Sure.
And you might not gain the attention of the editors in charge of picking, selecting vehicles, or that committee of people that select cars to be, for the car to be published in a magazine.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Unless you're doing something like, okay, here is a tech angle for an article, you know?
Sure.
Right. You know, we're installing this turbo into this brand new, you know, I don't know, Toyota Supra.
Sure.
You know, and then that way you would make it in. But in general, generally speaking, it depends on what your goal is, you know. So if you're just trying to hang out with a bunch of friends and satisfy the minimum requirements to go to an event, then that's fine. But if you're trying to be the echelon and be a superstar, you know, and bring in the hybrid heat and become hybrid hard tuned, then you need to study what's going on out there, talk to the judges. Because every judge from each event is different because they have a different tuning standard. You gotta study their spec sheet, their rule book, you know, and then that's just raw, you know. But then you got the live aspect where you're at the show and each judge is different. Some of them give you 5 minutes. Some of them give you 10, 20 because they love that kind of build, mm-hmm. you know. And some of them I hate to say this, they'll just write you off.
Right.
They might not tell you, but you can tell. You started getting the sixth sense after you become a seasoned competitor.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then you see what your boys are doing, you know, in the car club as well as other car clubs. And then, you got to adjust yourself and sure. become better. It's like an athlete, right? You know, you got to keep improving yourself.
Right.
Become, you know, it's like that Kobe Mamba mentality.
A side effect of all that attention? Trophies. Lots of them. Plus magazine features that showcase what's on trend and what's next.
It's people out there like yourself asking these questions that make you think about it. You know, we're the most published team in Performance Auto and Sound magazine. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a huge magazine. And we're also published in the non-existent now Import Tuner, Turbo magazine. You know, all these magazines are gone. We're still here. We outlasted a lot of the companies and the brands that were here when we started. So when those that are left, they'll ask you these questions or give you this credit when they write articles about you. I mean, we just got in a double feature in Hypertune, and I just got the magazine yesterday. Both of those cars are on BFG tires.
Like Pedro's Moparians, Team Hybrid is a family too. And like Moparians, Team Hybrid is a reflection of its leader. Where Pedro is more relaxed, James is meticulous, detail-oriented, and fully focused on being the very best. As for Brian, he's not so much the leader of a formal community the way that James has Team Hybrid or the way that Pedro has DFWLX and Moparians. But Brian is most certainly a huge contributor and a leader in the way he builds vehicles, both for himself and his customers.
Well, you can definitely, you know, you've seen all the cars in the shops. You can definitely tell that I'm, you know, I build a particular style of car, right? It's the pro touring. It's the, you know, it has to be right. And really, you know, to make that happen, you have to pick the right customers. That's the most important thing. So, I don't build just for everybody. I require almost, 100% control, of a build when I'm actually going to do a car for a customer, because, you know, my name's going to be on it. And if it's not something that I'm going to be happy with in the end, then I'm not going to have the motivation to see it through. So that's a really key point up front is choosing the build and choosing the customer, most importantly, to see that, you know, to go down that journey. For one, it's got to work, right? It's got to be, competitive is kind of a very loose word, but, you know, it's got to perform, right? There can't be any shortcuts. There can't be compromises along the way that says, I've got, 90% of the right parts on it and the last 10%, I'm just going to not worry about. Right. So like, for example, we put a 600 horsepower LS with all Detroit speed suspension and Big Bear brakes and Forge Line wheels. And then we go throw on some, Hankook tires or something or something, they don't see it all the way through. And in the end, the performance isn't there because one component of the system isn't right. So, if a customer wants to shortcut something, if they're like, well, I don't want to do that, I'd rather use this, then, that could be the end of the build, right? That could be where we don't move forward because I'm not going to go do something that in the end isn't going to be right. It isn't going to be to my standards. It's my name, right? And when I want, you know, when people see the car and look at it, I want them to, you know, to go down and check all those boxes, right? To go, wow, yeah, it's got the right suspension, it's got the right brakes, it's got the right shocks, the right exhaust, the right tires, the right wheels, the stance is there, the look, you know, it's all a package. It's about matching the parts, right? It's about everything working together because in the end, the car is a system, right? You've got suspension, you've got brakes, you've got power plants. But it's a system and all those pieces have to work together. And what I mean by making sure everything's matched is, you know, I have some people that have, you know, said, well, you know, I want to keep a stock subframe. So I want to run, you know, RideTech front control arms, but I want to go ahead and mini tub the back and put a DSE quadrilink in it. Right. And there's times where I'll be like, okay, we need to back up and really analyze what you want to get out of the car, what you're trying to do with it, you know? And that's what I mean, you know, by matching it all together, I know which systems work together with each other, which ones don't. And, you know, I'll definitely guide them along that way. And again, if it isn't going to be right, then I don't have the time or the desire to, you know, to build it. I'm not building for money. I'm building because I enjoy it. I enjoy the experience, the process, it keeps me busy. And, the money is just a side effect of that, which helps, you know, helps fund my racing and my fun. It's mostly because at the end of the day, I want them to be happy. I want them to enjoy the experience. I don't want them to have any kind of negative takeaways from it. You know, I would hate to have somebody spend $100,000+ with me and then be at the end go, you know, this, you know, I think I'm going to sell it. This isn't really what I wanted. Unfortunately, my name and my reputation, it is who I am. And it's, I care a little bit too much about what people think, unfortunately. But that's just me. I can't change that.
As different as these men, their cars, and the communities are, they've got one characteristic that links them together. They're selective.
I always tell people, one person makes all the difference. You don't need 5, 10. You need that one person that makes all the difference in your life. A good leader, mentor, teacher can make all the difference. It's like a good parent. Mm-hmm. You know, it makes all the difference. Sure. You know, you got to put in the time, dedication. It's not just once. It's consistent. You have to be consistent. And after you consistently drip this knowledge to them, you have to innovate. You have to wow them. You have to show them the way. You don't just talk. A lot of people talk. The people we attract love cars. That's a given. That's why that's not a focus. Sure. It's the people. The people are more important than the cars. Because you can have a sick ass car, but the person is terrible. You know, we'll see you out the door. Because you're going to be a virus. It's not good for anybody. It's like that in real life. It's like that in a big company, any company, small or large. You can't hire the wrong people.
Pedro has a similar philosophy when it comes to his community.
I see a lot of communities that bump heads, and I've been a part of so many of them, and to have like-minded individuals that are positive and not bumping with each other and causing negativity, it's a really special thing. So, you know, in this community, at least in my experience, has been a positive thing. And of course, just like every family, we tend to call each other families, right? When you're in a really good, you know, niche community and everything's going positive, it becomes more than friendships. And a lot of these individuals that I've met because of these cars have become my best friends, have become individuals that are a huge part of my life. And it's because we spend a lot of time with each other and we have all these amazing experiences. And it tends to stop being necessarily about the cars at some point, because in my time as a club president or as in the community, I've come across countless builds, vehicles, all these crazy modifications and things that people were doing. And at the end of the day, if I can't hang out with you, it's a problem, right? Like, we gotta be good. We gotta be cool. So the cars bring us together, and from there we kind of make those relationships as we can, and that lifestyle of it allows people to continue to come back, and if it's a positive thing for them, then they stick around and we keep having fun, you know. And it goes beyond, you know, simply the cars. We travel together, we vacation together, We attend events all across the U.S. together and just kind of go and have all these different experiences as a community.
It's not just about who they let into their communities and who they work with. That discerning attitude applies to what they put on their cars.
I remember the first thing that happened right after I got BFGs on my vehicle is that with this Hellcat, from there, they changed them, got to the light, and then gunned it, and this car hooked. It was a completely different vehicle. The performance of it was amazing. I mean, it was completely night and day from the OEM tires that I had on there. And we won't name who those are, but everybody knows who those are. But, you know, it was completely night and day. I'll tell you a funny story. When I first got the vehicle, if you know the Hellcat, there's a black key, there's a red key, right? And the red key allows you to unlock the performance that it has to 707 horsepower. And there's a few different things you have to click with inside of the vehicle in order to get you there. Well, it was scary. It was truly scary at the beginning. Like, it took me a while to even get the confidence to do that because all I kept doing was breaking loose. Like, the tires would not grip. The car would swerve. Like, it would just fishtail the whole nine yards. Like, it was a really scary moment. And I hate to admit that, but it's the truth. And once I got comfortable enough, I started doing a little more, right? But what happened was that once these tires got on there, this car completely transformed. And BF Goodrich allowed me to really utilize the performance and be comfortable with it. And it did turn the car around. Like, it just made it a completely different beast. So, you know, this vehicle, just like we talked earlier, comes with all the bells and whistles. And the first thing that I said with the Hellcat is just what every enthusiast out there says, but lies, is saying, I'm going to leave this car alone, right? Like, I'm not going to mod this car. I'm not going to do nothing to it. And it's all BS. But, you know, I said the same thing. And to a certain extent, I've kept my word. I've kept my word with, you know, not doing some crazy mods. I've done the paint correction, the expel paint protection. I've done all these really cool things to enhance the look of the vehicle in a really nice way versus making it a full show vehicle, which I had no intention of doing. Now I'm in the performance world. That's my focus. And these tires really helped with that performance. You know, you think people don't necessarily connect them all the time because you're thinking supercharger, you're thinking tune, you're thinking, you know, intake and all these different things. Well, the performance that you get from the tires themselves is truly one of the most important pieces. Because like I said, if you can't hook this vehicle, if it doesn't perform well, if it doesn't launch, if it doesn't grip, then you're sitting there spinning. And a lot of people don't understand that when, you know, they're doing that at the track and if they only knew that having the right tires would change all of that for them, it would be crazy.
For James and Team Hybrid, the right combination of parts makes all the difference to judges at shows. According to him, a vehicle built to the level Team Hybrid is known for has to have rare, innovative parts that stand the test of time.
Well, we believe BF Goodrich, with their history of the quality of their tires, you know, and using them for 18 years and also testing with them, you know, at the events that we've been invited to, you can tell it's better than the competition, you know, the control, the stopping, the braking, you know, and just the confidence you have when you're on their tires versus the competition.
It's not just the performance. There's a history of innovative aesthetics on BFG's street tires.
Yeah, some of the things that happened in the past that BFG did that was different from the competition was, you know, they had something called a scorcher, you know, where they had on a tread pattern, a color into the tire. Okay. And then they had something, a model called the KDW, which was more of a flame-like pattern, which caught on with the hot rods, the domestic enthusiasts, as well as the import enthusiasts as well. And it really differentiated itself from the competition. Mm-hmm. Because when you're at a non-racing event, you know, you're at a show, you know, those things matter to the judges and to the people walking by. Because for us, you know, we don't just show off a vehicle with the wheels and tires on the car. We actually pull off the wheel and tire and put it on a wheel stand while the tire, you know, is next to the vehicle showing off by itself. Mm-hmm. So it captures the attention of not only the judges, but the general public.
Cars. That combination of speed and mastery in competition. They have an undeniable draw. For James, Pedro, and Brian, though they may live in different places, build different cars, and have different communities, cars are life.
If you go on vacation, it's about cars. You're in the shop working to because there's a race coming up. It's about cars. Even when I'm doing my day job, it's like I plan my professional career around my hobby. Every waking moment, you know, it's about cars.
The streets are calling. James, Pedro, and Brian, they answered. Thanks for listening. On our next episode, we'll be joined by Terry Earwood, professional talker and developer of driving talent, Mike Johnson, owner of the Evolution Performance Driving School, and Dan McKeever, president of the Ford Performance Racing School. In short, these are the people you want to know if you want to be better behind the wheel. Until next time.